Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Movies. Sometimes we watch them. Sometimes we imitate them. Sometimes we do intros to our podcast that aren't completely familiar with everybody.
No.
No.
Exactly.
I told you we're gonna take it from there.
As long as
you start at the bottom, then everything goes fine, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And then as long as Luke is in the middle and I'm on the top,
kind of falls into place.
Yeah.
Exactly. Smooth sailing.
Then we take it from there. So welcome everybody to another fantastic episode, as you guys can clearly tell, of Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. This is Harold.
This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
And wow, we finally got that right.
Yeah.
Okay. So really quickly before we go into today's topic, I was telling Dennis and Lewis here how it would be awkward if we introduced ourselves the way we do on the podcast to people on the street. Say you had just met a new person and you just go up to them and go, "This is Harold." How would they react? Also, if Dennis automatically says the words, "This is Dennis,"
and then
automatically Lewis will just say Lewis, and somewhere, no matter where I am, I will just say Harold. So we've established that about each other.
Yes, and then the music just plays.
Somewhere.
Where's that coming from?
Yeah.
You have your own walking music?
Yes,
we do.
So today's topic is something that we had been discussing amongst each other for a while, because one time we were in line at this Deadpool pop-up, and we were deciding, you know what? There's a lot of great movie villains, and one of the best things that movie villains do is, right before they're about to kill the bad guy, or the good guy, they give a speech with their intentions, or in other words, they give a monologue. So we had been, you know, discussing it amongst ourselves, and we love the fact that there's so many different monologues that mean so many different things to so many different movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
Monologues are a thing. Monologues are great.
So for the sake of this podcast,
I'm just doing a monologue to that.
It always. Lewis is the one that always jumps in, though. That's the thing.
We're ruining the flow.
Okay, fine.
Welcome back.
Okay,
back to me then. So for the sake of this podcast, we're not going to do any links. For today's podcast, we prepared monologues like Harold had mentioned. It's not like the one-liners or the snappy, catchy, the one or two lines memorable for every movie. These are the monologues that, like, define or at least change how we view our movies or the films or the TV shows that we're watching. So I think, like, we're going to surprise each other a little bit today, because none of us really talked about which one we chose from or which one we're pulling from. So we're just going to go off the cuff and do our best.
And the one thing that we were kind of talking about is that, unfortunately, monologues are monologues because it's a long-ass, thing.
Spiel,
so,
right.
So some of these are going to be the whole thing. Some of it is going to be cut short depending on the length of the monologue. And one of the things that we're kind of challenging ourselves is that we're going to try to imitate the actual person. So
this will either be amazing.
No, it's not going to be amazing.
There's two ways it goes: amazing or amazingly so terrible that you're never going to. Probably going to delete this.
It goes back around. It becomes great again.
At a certain point, we're just going to stop it, and we're going to say, "Never mind."
At least we try again. At least
another lost episode.
The effort was made.
So, format, what we're going to do, as we were talking about, we're going to kind of talk about the movie that where it's from, and we're going to try our best to attempt the monologue, and then maybe discuss, what we thought, how we felt, how powerful that monologue is, especially into the movie. Okay. So, anybody want to start off?
I'll start off. Speaking of powerful, my first pick comes from one of the more popular movies in the last decade or so. This was from a movie called Taken. This stars Liam Neeson
I can't wait now.
It's going to be so good.
Liam Neeson plays Brian Mills, who is a security guard, but with a kind of a secret implied past of, you know, wet works, kind of black ops kind of stuff like that. So, like Dennis mentioned, let's paint the scene. In this scene, before the monologue happens, Brian's daughter, a grown, I think she's 18 or 19 in this stage, she is in Paris or in Europe with her girlfriends, and their hotel room has been ransacked. Brian's daughter can audibly hear her friend being kidnapped. And she starts panicking, calls the one person she can trust, because again, she's in Europe. I guess she didn't know how to call the police over there. She calls her dad. And
911.
Hola.
Wait. Hola.
Ho ho. 911. So she calls.
Wait, wait. Uno, uno.
In this
week,
this is already bad.
I'm having fun, man.
Your French accent is so bad.
And sadly, I took 3 years of French. I took AP French. I didn't pass, obviously, but I took French. So
anyway, I'm an expert. Quick aside, real quick. There was one point where I was asking Louis, "Louis, what does the word je ne sais quoi mean?"
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I actually did the whole routine, and I didn't even realize it. No, no, no. I want to know what je ne sais quoi means.
I don't know.
And I was getting angry. Did you take French?
What does it mean? I don't know.
What does it mean? Je ne sais quoi?
Okay, right. So I guess now's the time to do the monologue.
Right. Here we go.
Do it, Dosimo.
Remember, he's not French.
He's actually American.
He's taken.
he's not American. He's taken. Okay, here we go. So, Liam Neeson, and take. I don't know who you are.
Wow.
Sorry. But what I do have are a particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. You let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you. End scene.
That was horrible. You go back into it and came back around at the end.
I am Batman. This is Liam Neeson and Batman Begins. I'm the star.
It started out. I'm not gonna say it started out strong, but it started out. And then it went back to regular Lewis voice. But he was just reading it. I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna find it. I got a particular set of skills. You can do that. We should do the next one as Seth Rogen. Kermit the Frog.
Okay, an effort was made.
Okay, that was
a starting point. I think that's pretty damn good.
We can only get better.
Yeah,
exactly. We hope. Thanks, Harold.
I mean, not for us. We're probably gonna stay about the same level. But for Lewis, you know, sky's the limit.
The baseline's pretty low.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go next. Okay. That's a tough act to follow. To be honest with you, one of the episodes that we did was the horror episode, and one of the things that I told these guys and told you guys, the listeners, is that for me, one of the scariest movies for me was Jaws. And to this day, I still have nightmares of Jaws. But, just like in the... is it not The Shining? What's the one that goes...
The Shining.
The one...
Oh, my God, I'm blanking right now. Something about a... Deliverance.
Just like that, where there's like a musical tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie Jaws, there's a particular scene which I consider to be a monologue. It's kind of short, but I still consider it to be a monologue. And the scene is between Richard Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw, Matt Hooper and Quint. Uh-huh. And one of the first times they kind of met each other, and Matt Hooper, the scientist, kind of showing off the shark cage, and Quint is kind of like, you know, talking to him, and finally asks Matt Hooper, "What is that?" Okay, Matt Hooper goes, "It's a shark cage." So this is Quint. This is Robert Shaw.
doing this the scene. Ready? Anti-shark cage. You go inside the cage. Cage goes in the water. You go in the water. Shark's in the water. Our shark. Farewell and adieu to you fair ladies. Farewell and adieu to you ladies of Spain. For we received orders for to sail back to Boston, and so nevermore shall we see each other again.
Wow. That was fantastic.
Wow. And to this day, when I hear farewell and adieu, I'm like, oh.
Oh, God. Oh. Where's the shark tank? Where's the shark cage?
The cage will go in the water.
Things can
well,
change.
That was a bonus because you got the monologue and a song.
And a song. Yeah, you got a sea shanty.
And an evil laugh at the end. I did love Robert Shaw's characters. After the Halloween episode, I didn't watch Jaws again. Surly Robert Shaw is just the best.
What a fantastic movie. All right.
Did the shark get him?
Apparently.
And
his death scene was the best.
This was the only death scene worth it.
No, I don't know. The lady swimming in the middle.
That's pretty
epic.
But then you don't see her entering into the mouth.
Yeah.
With a death gurgle.
Slowly by a robot.
Yeah.
Like, ow, oh, that really hurts. What if Shaw was like, arr.
It was a pirate shark. Yeah,
exactly. Alright, I guess, I have no idea where I'm going with this, but I'm going to do a movie.
Good. That's we're
off to a good start.
Monologue.
Okay.
That's the topic, right?
Okay. Yes.
All right. So my monologue comes from the movie Fight Club. It's about this club where they fight.
Ooh. Yeah. Do they do the thing where they say Fight Club?
You know what? Actually, in the monologue.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't do it just like once. He does it like a bunch of times.
Okay.
So
yeah, my monologue didn't say, "Are you taken?"
It's like, oh, this is the thing. And Dennis didn't go. Yeah. The shark has
John.
Cue the strings.
But in Fight Club, apparently, Tyler Durden, who, if you guys don't know, played by the sexiest man alive, Brad Pitt. He does his speech before he does the very first event of the Open Fight Club. So this is my really bad impression of Brad Pitt in Fight Club. And yes, I did take my shirt off.
Oh my God.
Should I hose you down now or later?
Are we doing connect the dots?
Yeah, that body acne. All right, here we go. Gentlemen, welcome to Fight Club. See, he said the thing already. And then he goes again. The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. So there's more than that. I just didn't want to do any more than that. It's basically because, you know, you guys have heard the rules of Fight Club before,
yes,
right?
No.
All right, third rule of Fight Club. Someone yells stop, goes limp, taps out, the fight is over. Fourth rule. Only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule, one fight at a time, fellas. Sixth rule, no shirts, no shoes, no service. Just kidding. Seventh rule?
I don't remember that line.
Seventh rule, fights will go on as long as they have to. And the eighth and final rule, if this is your first time at Fight Club, you have to fight. So then, a bunch of sweaty dudes start punching each other.
And then meatloaf.
Yeah, the meatloaf and his boobs come out, and then he smothers boobs with it.
Yeah.
And then Jared Leto gets the crap kicked out of him. And
oh, that's right. Jared Leto was in that movie. I totally forgot about that.
And he got the
yeah,
man.
Punch back into him.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for you to do the imitation.
Which imitation?
of of Brad Pitt.
Oh, that's all I got.
Just try looking at him.
After a while, even I just gave up.
Lewis, you're in the lead.
Dennis is pretty strong. Though.
The cackle at the end really kind of like wrapped everything yeah. together, dude.
I'm saving mine for the ending.
Okay. I should have ended with that, Dan.
Yeah.
Started strong.
You gotta build up to it for that final monologue.
Wow, monologues building monologues. Okay, so for mine, this is from the wonderfully cheesy monster movie Pacific Rim. Idris Elba plays Stacker Pentecost. Stacker Pentecost is I believe the colonel or some kind of military guy who's running the Jaeger program. In this scene, he is trying to rally the troops. The last two or three monsters or the kaiju have erupted from the Pacific. They don't do the thing. Dang it. They don't say Pacific Rim. And so at this point, he himself has a history of driving these Jaegers. He has to suit up and fight them back. And he is trying to rally his troops and try to fight these kaiju back. So here we go. So Lewis is Idris Elba as Stacker Pentecost. Pacific Rim. Ooh, wow. That's a lot.
I love the background.
Today, there's not a man or a woman in here. We shall stand alone. Not today. Today, we face the monsters that are at our door and bring the fight to them. Today, we are canceling the apocalypse.
It's a pretty good Bill Cosby impression, Dave.
I am so sorry.
This is all good now.
Wait, is he doing Morgan Freeman?
Yeah. Look at the view. I'm Morgan Freeman. it was a cross between Bill Cosby and that they took our jobs, guys.
That's the middle of South Park.
Yeah.
Not today. Can't choose them.
Okay, I think Lewis won that. Lewis won that one. Oh, man. I'm so sorry, Idris Elba. I know you're listening to the podcast, yeah. So
in the off chance.
You just haven't listened to this episode.
You're walking by one of our listeners. Yikes.
We apologize in advance. Okay, so my next one, as Harold pointed out, I should have ended strongly, and so I'm going to go a little bit lower so that I can build up to my next one.
Okay.
So my next one is a personal favorite in movies. One of my favorite movies is called The American President. And The American President was played by Michael Douglas, and he was, as a new American citizen, I always thought that this would be the type of guy that I would be voting for. And of course, there's a famous part there. Now, unfortunately, like we said, we really can't do the whole monologue because I think it's like 6 minutes long, and I can't do a Michael Douglas impersonation. So I've decided to kind of just take the latter part of the monologue. And so to kind of like paint the picture, as Lewis kind of said, this is the very end of the movie where Michael Douglas's character Andrew Shepherd has finally learned his lesson. There's a Thornton or something like that, is this candidate who's been bashing him, who's been bashing his girlfriend and everything, and he's been kind of avoiding, a confrontation. And finally, Andrew Shepherd goes and, goes to a White House press meeting, and he interrupts the whole thing, and he starts talking to Bob Branson or something like that is his name. And so this is my version of Michael Douglas, okay, doing the monologue from American President.
I can't read because I'm old. Hold on. That's not the monologue.
Dennis, the font is too small.
I went Times New Roman 12.
Ooh,
I should have gone.
Big mistake.
I should have gone 24.
Very old 12. You look like one of those old timey radio guys.
Today
on War of the Worlds.
Just so you know, I actually lifted my glasses
yes, exactly.
up because I actually have bifocals. So there you go. Okay, so here we go. Michael Douglas is Andrew Shepherd. We've got serious problems and we need serious people. And if you want to talk about character, Bob, you better come at me with more than a burning flag and a membership card. If you want to talk about character and American values, fine. Just tell me where and when and I'll show up. This is a time for serious people, Bob, and your 15 minutes are up. My name is Andrew Shepherd, and I am the president. End scene. Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, you know what?
Better than Gearden, but...
If you were born in this country, I would vote for you.
Definitely better than Bill Cosby.
that's my Bill Cosby.
What happened, Bill?
That's him standing down to pick up the sofa.
Yikes.
Shabba-dabba-doo.
Peanut butter cup.
That was going to be my third one, dude.
Oh,
my third one was that peanut butter cup.
Oh, what a great
peanut butter cup with the eggs. Dude, you just ruined
my third one. I'm sorry.
That dude's waiting the whole time. And scene.
Hey,
right. Put a butter cup. We can't do peanut butter cup.
Pudding peanut butter cup.
All right, man. This is... I'm going to do this, but I know I can't do the accent or the voice pretty well. And mine is
But you have to try.
I'm going
to
try.
I'm going to try.
You can't not do it.
I just did Quint.
That's true. And then Lewis just did Bill Cosby Saving the Apocalypse. So for lack of better words, I cannot not try because if you guys are actually putting some effort into this.
Exactly.
So for me, my next monologue comes from the comedy classic of the 80s, Caddyshack. And I'm going to be doing a monologue performed by Sir William Murray. He plays Carl. What happened?
Sir William Murray. Sorry, I've never heard anybody call him that.
Sir.
And I called him William Murray. But
is it actually on?
No, I just. Okay. Yes, I am clever. But he plays Carl, the groundskeeper, and you know his whole job in the whole movie is trying to get rid of these gophers that keep popping up and ruining all the golf course. So occasionally he gets bored, so he's got a little bit of time to kill.
Uh-huh.
So he's sitting there and he starts whacking away at these little bushels of flowers, and with a driver and pretending that the bushels are actual golf balls and everything. So while he's doing this, he's imagining himself as this great golfer. So before he goes, while he does that, he goes into his little his inspirational speech, and it's a little bit like this. There we go. That's, he'll love that one. He's gonna be pleased with that. The crowd is just on its feet. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess, as he lines up his last shot. I don't know if he's African American. He's got about 195 yards left, and looks like he's got about an 8-iron. This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story. Out of nowhere, former greenskeeper, now about to become the Masters champion. It looks like it's in the hole! It's in the hole! There you go.
That was better than the Deirdre one. Okay, we'll give you that one. Which, by the way, at the very beginning, I was like, wait a minute. Is he doing,
Hey Boo Boo?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, is it Yogi?
I don't know how Bill Murray did it. He's funny. He's got like kind of a lisp in this thing.
He's going for the picnic basket. Hey, baby.
Hey,
Boo Boo.
You're going to pick a new basket.
Okay.
How are we doing on this?
We're doing good.
Okay.
Do you have a third one here?
Yes, I do. All right. So for, car.
So I'm like 2 for 2. So I'm really like,
you score yourself. Oh, I'm 2 for 2.
I give myself an A on all of them so far. So for my next scene, if this is a major, pretty major moment in one of the greatest 90s movies, if not one of the greatest science fiction movies of all time, Jurassic Park. This monologue is from Jeff Goldblum playing Dr. Ian Malcolm. At this point in the movie, Dr. Malcolm and a bunch of other scientists have been invited to the park to basically evaluate it on for its merit and to basically take out check out if this is a good investment by I can't remember the guy's name now, but anyway, Dr. Hammond, sorry, who created Jurassic Park. So at this point, you know, the attorney, or I think it was an accountant, was basically counting the money already. And Dr. Hammond's saying, no, everybody should be able to enjoy this. Dr. Malcolm, however, being the chaos scientist, I don't even know if that's an actual occupation, but he's a chaos scientist. So he's got his spiel. He's got a stance, and he's got to let everybody know. So here we go. You didn't earn the knowledge for yourself, so you don't take any responsibility for it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could. And before you even knew what you had, you panned it, packaged it, and slapped it on a plastic lunchbox, and now you're selling it. You want to sell it? Well, there you go. That's it.
I like that one.
It's actually one of my favorite ones, but yeah. Sorry, so hopefully I do Dr. Malcolm a little bit of justice.
Do you really get to do that speech while wearing the Jurassic World shirt?
I just realized that was so weird. I know.
I'm wearing a Just Do It shirt with Bo Jackson on it. Can't do no monologue with Bo Jackson.
Climb a wall and catch a ball, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so my next one would be from Rocky IV.
Oh.
Thank you.
And
bravo! No, my next one is from one of my favorite sports movies.
Rocky IV?
Rocky IV. No, one of my favorite sports movies is a movie called Pool Hall Junkie.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, there's different monologues there. Like, there's at least like 3 different ones. But the one that is always memorable to me is the one happens early on in the movie, and for those people who've never watched it, Pool Hall Junkies is movie about some hustlers who go about, you know, trying to win money through pool. And at the very beginning of the movie, you see Johnny, who's a hustler, and you know, his handler, I guess you can call it, trying to tell him, you know, you got to make more money. You're playing with this guy. You know, you could do better than this. You got to be able to do better than this. And so Johnny finally comes out of the bathroom, and picture the scene. There's all these African American pool players, you know, look gangster looking, and not because they're African American, but that's what they were presented as, you know, these tough guys. And then he walks out, and he just yells, "Bet 20,000. "Oh, what's the matter? Did I stutter? Everybody got quiet all about a minute ago. It was like an evening at Apollo up in this, and all of a sudden it's quiet as a church. That's all right, Chico. I don't blame you. I've been beating this Jimmy Walker looking all goddamn night. He can't win." The end.
Wow.
Wow. That was strong.
I know. And I know for a fact I'm going to be going to putting my little toot for every single one of those.
Who's bleeping you?
Good question, Dennis. How did you hear about this Pool Hall Junkies movie?
Was it you?
Yeah.
It was me. Okay. I don't remember anything with you. So.
I mean, you know.
You were there.
And you?
Wait. Did I pay for your ticket?
No. I let you borrow my DVD.
Oh, okay. Well, justifies everything he's done ever.
Exactly.
Then. Because damn, that's a damn good movie.
All right. So to go along the lines of a Pool Hall Junkies here, and following up on Jurassic Park,
I'm actually. Hold on. No, there's nothing. There's no relation. There's no correlation whatsoever. Okay, but actually, there is to Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Because like what we talked about earlier is Jeff Goldblum was fantastic in Jurassic Park.
Amazing actor.
Also fantastic in
Ragnarok?
Independence Day.
Oh, excuse me. Thor Ragnarok?
Yes, Thor Ragnarok. But one of the main characters of the original blockbuster,
right.
Independence Day. And we all remember the big scene where all the Air Force pilots and everybody in the military is getting ready to go up and fight against these aliens, but they have no idea how to beat them unless Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum are able to give the ship a virus, you know, to get the ship sick. And everybody's like waiting for some kind of event that's going to bring them together, and Robert Loggia is like, hey, Mr. President, you should bring it up. Dude, I got a pretty decent Robert Loggia. Robert Loggia. So he grabs...
What are you doing, Mr. President?
So he grabs the president.
I'm a pilot.
Who's, of course, Bill Pullman. Or, you know, so he gets Bill Pullman ready. And Bill Pullman...
Wow, two presidential speeches.
Two presidential speeches. And one, and another war speech getting everybody ready.
Because
that's the funny thing is, when I remember specifically watching the first Pacific Rim, and when he was doing that motivational speech to everybody, I was like, Bill Pullman would be bad, man. So, here's my, or from a president, well, I don't remember his name. President Bill Pullman. One of these days, Bill Pullman's going to be president, and it's not going to be such a surprise. But here's the speech that he gives right before sending everybody up to flight. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We are fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day the world declared in one voice. We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yay!
And then I give you the jacket and the helmet.
And then he's like, Mr. President.
Robert Loggia, what are you doing, Mr. President?
Robert Loggia, what are you doing here? I don't know, I'm Robert Loggia, too.
You're going to give it a cold?
So, President Lone Star, whatever Bill Pullman's name. I have no monologues from Spaceballs. Sorry.
All you got is, your Schwartz is bigger than me. That's about it. Alright, so, I got one... one of my last monologues comes from one of my favorite movies that I had with my son, one of our favorite series. It is Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Now, this one, I guess for when it comes to monologues, my favorites is just, you know, it has to be some kind of fiction. And it's got to be, rallying the troops. So in this scene, the orcs and the forces of evil have attacked and have launched an attack on Minas Tirith, where all the heroes are stuck and they're trying to fight back. And here comes the great return of King Théoden. So here goes my best impersonation of Bernard Hill, who is English.
This is going to be amazing.
There we go. Are you really going to do a British accent?
I'm going to try. Crikey! Oi! Oi! Get out of here!
Arise! Arise, riders of Théoden! Spears shall be shaken, shields shall be splintered. A sword day! A red day! Ride now! And then he's riding a sword. Wait, I got it. Ride now! Ride!
No coconuts.
Ride for ruin! He really said ruin. And the world's ending! Death! 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 And scene. It wasn't the best, but the way that he said the last few deaths was so jarring. When I was like, oh. It was like, if I was one of the soldiers, I'm gonna just ride now. You crazy, man.
Was he asking for Jell-O? Jell-O!
Jell-O!
Right! Sorry.
That's it for me. That's all I all got. All
right. Good job, Luke.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good job.
I'd give myself a 4 out of 5 on that one.
4.5. I'll give you 4.5.
4.5.
That's pretty epic, actually. Okay, so my last one, this is going to be my worst impersonation, I think.
Or yes.
No, it's going to be the worst impersonation. But I love this, you know, I love this monologue so much that I need to actually say it just because it's so good. And it just so happens it's from the same movie. It's from Pool Hall Junkies. And like I said, Pool Hall Junkies just have so many, like, you know, like, there's at least 3 monologues there that I could do and still you know, and still be in the same thing. But the last one I want to do, and the reason why I'm telling you I can't do it, because I've been trying this whole day. Ever since we came up with this, I've been trying to do a Christopher Walken impersonation.
Oh, there you go.
And Christopher Walken is one of those characters, like, he has such a specific, you know, way of talking that I've realized that I can't copy it. So I'm going to try. This is my imitation of an imitation.
You have to record this.
What the hell? No! Turn that damn thing off.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
If I didn't get to see you do your Batman impersonation with
Batman Liam Neeson,
Batman Liam Neeson, you can't do this one. Okay, all so,
right, fine then.
Like I said, this is not. this is not as good as the one. Like I wish I said. I like it. Like I, now that I think about it, I wish I saved my
Robert Quinn, Shaw.
My Robert Shaw.
My Quinn.
You should have saved that for the last. But you know,
you never save your Quinn. John did.
No, if he saved Jaws, he saved Quinn for last.
You're right. Jaws didn't save him. Yeah. Oh God. So okay. So here we go. And I need to adjust my glasses already, so I won't mess up in the beginning. So you see the you see the one about the lions. You got this lion. He's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out to here. He's lying under a tree in the middle of Africa. He's so big. He's so hot. Doesn't want to move. Now, the little lions come. They start messing with him. Biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. The lionesses, they start messing with him. Coming over, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they take notice of this. They start to move in. The jackals, they're barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat his food that's in his domain. They do this, then they get closer and closer, bolder and bolder, till one day the lion gets in and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, and eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is. End scene.
That was the best Woody Allen impression I've ever heard.
So good.
So good.
I never knew Christopher Walken was Jewish.
He's so big.
That's the only thing I heard you doing that,
I was like,
ooh, that
was
good.
If I could just take that one and
stretch it out.
Focus it to the whole impression. You know what?
We
should just end it there because that's what it's
solid.
Okay, fine.
No, get out of here.
Okay, here we go.
All right, this is my last one.
Liam Neeson. Right.
So,
wait, does Bill Cosby have any monologue?
Theo.
I still got my last one.
Okay, go ahead. Right.
So my last thing is actually a monologue that I did in high school for one of my drama classes. Because our teacher asked us to do like a 2-minute monologue. Unfortunately for me, this monologue is slightly shorter than that, so I had to include some of the nastier words before it, and actually ended up playing 2 characters, but she didn't know modern movies, so she had no idea. So this monologue is from one of my favorite movies ever, probably top 5 for me, is the 90s classic Pulp Fiction. And the character I'll be playing is... Jules,
nice.
Played by the greatest actor of all time, Samuel L. Jackson. So,
okay, I'm ready for this.
Here we go.
I'm ready for this.
Here we go. I'm sorry.
for whatever's about to happen. And I might not even need to, yeah, I'll kind of look at it just in case. But so this is the thing is,
oh my god, I think he memorized this.
I actually did from like, but the monologue that he does, he actually does it twice in the movie. And what he does is he, before he kills anybody, because he's an assassin or a hitman, he would make a speech letting them know exactly that they're about to die without them knowing it, until he pulls out his gun in the very last line. So he does it the first time, ends up killing somebody. The second time, gives that person a chance, saying, I've been saying these lines all of my life, and I never understood what it really meant until right now. So this is it, and I'm going to do the angry version. It was the very first time they've ever heard this. So, excuse me.
Wow! Wow! Standing up. Harold is standing up and stretching his glutes. I don't know why he was
genital area.
I don't know why he's stretching his glutes for this.
All right. I'm just gonna yell the last line. Sorry. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he's truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. All right, there you go.
Wait, that was Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah. Oh, he's not the one that says, because he's about to shoot. Okay, he shoots.
Because that could be like Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was
okay. That was epic, guys. I have to tell you, I've learned one thing, two things, actually. One is we do watch various movies and different movies that have monologues, and we do enjoy it. And second one is we really suck at accents, which is, again, we've been teasing this forever. We're working on our wheel of accents, and it's going to come pretty soon because obviously we suck at it, and it's going
to
be...
We need to keep practicing.
Well, I got my Bill Cosby down. I don't know about you guys.
And I got my Rocky Balboa.
And Ruben's British Meredith down pretty good.
In my back pocket. Always ready.
Oh, man. Okay. So, good episode. Good stuff, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed recording it. As usual, you know, this is a collaboration with everybody. We always talk about it. If there's any ideas that you want to do, please shout out to us. There you go. Shout out to us and
don't shout out.
Hit you in the
hey
back
you.
Hey, I got an idea.
You want to talk about Batman?
Okay.
Do another Bill Cosby impression. That's my regular voice.
Shout out to us. That's correct. Yeah. Shout out to us through our social media pages. So Harold,
shout out to us.
I don't know.
All right,
do a shout out.
Whatever it is, whatever it is, the kids do.
Whatever you young kids do these days.
It's an internet high five.
I think there's emojis or something.
Oh, send us a GIF.
GIFs.
Then it's a peanut butter?
Peanut butter cups?
Peanut butter cups.
Put the peanut butter in it. You have peanut butter cup in your eggs? Again, that was my fifth one and you ruined
it. I'm so sorry.
That was the whole model.
Hey, peanut butter cup.
Hey, peanut butter cup. Why don't we put a peanut butter cup in your eggs?
And see. That should have been your Halloween costume this year, dude.
Me holding the trash bag.
Just holding a cleaver, a spam.
So what we're
talking about our social media stuff.
So on Facebook, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual will be we'll be posting our podcast whenever they go live. Any fun links, articles, and pictures that we might find on the internet that's worthy of your eyes.
You can also follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at @2fanboys1casual. On there, we do a lot of, post a lot of the updated podcasts that are coming up, as well as ideas that we have, and if you ever want to be interactive with any of us on both Facebook and on all our other social media accounts, we're very interactive.
And of course, check out twofanboys1casual.com. This is our website that we are proud of, even though we haven't really been doing much of it. So that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed yourself today. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Bill Cosby, get out of here.
What's he doing here?
Get out of here, Bill. There are children in this house.